This presentation on the resurrection by Dr. Paul Henneberry of Telus Theological Ministries is offered for the edification of all students of God's Word by spiritandtruth.org. It is our prayer that this presentation will deepen your understanding of the Bible, resulting in a closer walk with our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's begin our time with Dr. Henneberry.
Paul Martin Henneberry, the president of Telos Theological Ministries. And what I want to do in this short series is talk about the doctrine of the resurrection. Now, in talking about resurrection, I'm not just talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, although, of course, that figures largely in this doctrine and what I'm going to be speaking about. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ involves a larger doctrine, a doctrine of the biblical worldview, which sees the renewal and the complete rejuvenation of the whole of creation in terms of resurrection, and therefore casts a great hope for those who believe in the God of creation. Now, what I want to do in this segment is just talk about resurrection as it was understood in the ancient world. If you have come across the populist presentations against Christianity by many of the recent atheists, you would have encountered arguments which go back into the ancient world, often based on misinformation taken from discredited sources like James Frazer's Golden Bow and other such 19th century sources, which speak about resurrection stories in the ancient world. For example, in Egypt, it was believed that the god Osiris, who was chopped up into little bits, was brought back together again and was resuscitated and raised. The same with the Babylonian god Tammuz and some other gods. And of course, in the ancient world, as anyone who has studied the religions of the Mediterranean world 2,000 or plus years ago knows, these gods were often transferred, and their stories were brought over from one place to another place. And sometimes the deities were given new names, but the stories basically remain the same. And so often you don't have several stories. Often you have one story that's been retold under a slightly different guise or with the gods renamed in a different location. But be that as it may, what is important to note about the supposed resurrection of Osiris and others in the ancient pantheon is that nobody believed that these gods were actually human. Nobody believed that these were literal happenings, let alone physical happenings. Moreover, the supposed resurrection wasn't a bodily resurrection as we see in the Bible. The ancients didn't believe in bodily resurrection in that way. Also, nobody took these stories literally in the ancient world. They all knew that these were figurative tales. And although you might find some people in certain uneducated castes that they would believe that maybe Osiris existed and maybe some of these things happened, they would still understand the figurative nature of these stories. So when the Bible speaks about resurrection, it's not speaking about something that is compatible in any way, other than in a very superficial way, with these ancient stories. And so please don't be put off or perturbed by what these atheists and what these scoffers say. When they bring alongside these ancient myths and say, well, the resurrection story of Jesus Christ and so on. It's just another one of these myths, you see. It's just a retelling of these old tales. Look, the ancient Jews knew these old myths and they discarded them utterly. They were not polytheists, they were not pantheists, they did not believe that the God of Scripture, their God, was like the gods Marduk or Baal or any of these other lesser gods. These were local deities, not creators and sustainers of the whole universe. But what did they believe? Well, they believed that many times there was some kind of life after death, but usually that life after death would be an incorporeal life. It wouldn't be a resurrected life on earth. And so, again, things are very different. It is very important, by the way, let me just put this in here. It is very important not just to look at incidental similarities between teachings. You've got to examine the dissimilarities too in order to understand how these things fare, how logical they may be, how empirical they may be, and whether indeed they are of the same genre or not. And it's only by looking at the dissimilarities that you find those things out. When we look at the dissimilarities between these supposed resuscitation stories of the ancient pagan myths and the biblical account of resurrection, we're looking at two very different genres, two very different things. One of them is certainly mythological and taken that way. The other is historical and is taken that way. Now, whether you believe in the history or not at this particular time is not important to my presentation. The fact is, people did believe in it, and I believe in it. We're talking about here historical incident as opposed to a fictional tale. Now, what about the ancient Jews? Did they expect that Messiah would come and Messiah would be killed and he would be resurrected? Well, I'm going to say more about the Lord Jesus Christ in other segments and in other sessions that we'll do. So I'm just going to just quickly say something here about that and then I'll leave it. The fact of the matter is, although the Old Testament certainly points towards a suffering Savior, there's no doubt about that. Psalm 22, Isaiah 53 particularly, and other places deal especially with the suffering servant. And yet the resurrection doctrine is not as clearly stated. I think it's there, it's certainly an implication in those texts, but it's not clearly stated like, "and Messiah will rise again from the dead." We don't find anywhere that that's stated in the Old Testament. What we do find, though, is a belief in a general resurrection. This was unique, as far as I know, to the ancient Jews. They are the ones who believed that God would raise bodily those who were believers in him, those who were righteous, that at the end of time they would be raised again. We find this, for example, clearly stated in the book of Daniel, in the last chapter. There it says that at the last day, God will judge humanity. He'll separate them into two, and that they will both rise, one to the resurrection of the righteous, and one to judgment. And so you can read that in Daniel 12. We see in John chapter 11, in the tale of the raising of Lazarus by Jesus, that his sister Martha comes out, runs out to Jesus, and says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus said, don't fear, your brother will rise again. And her answer is in line with the general belief of Jews at that time. She says, I know that my brother will rise again at the last day. They believed in a general resurrection, not in individual resurrections. So the expectation of Martha and the expectation of the Jews of Jesus' day was that in the last day, when God finally brought history to a close and ushered it in his golden kingdom, that there would be a resurrection of the just. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, no, he will rise again now. Just believe. And, of course, Jesus brought him forth. Now, Lazarus didn't... he was resuscitated, and he certainly came back from the dead. So, in a sense, he was resurrected. But the resurrection doctrine in Scripture is more than just the revivification of a dead body. It includes the glorification, the transformation of that body. And certainly that did not happen to Lazarus. He died again. However, that did happen to Jesus. Jesus himself predicted that he would raise. Three times in the Gospel of Mark, for example, he predicts his demise. And in the last of those episodes, he is very clear that he will be betrayed, that he will be handed over to the chief priests and elders, who will hand him over to the Gentiles, and he would be killed, but on the third day he would rise again. Also in Matthew chapter 12, he very implicitly, I think, and quite clearly in the context, said that he would... give them a sign of the prophet Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The implication being that after 3 days and three nights, he wouldn't be anymore. And also in John chapter 2, in talking about the temple, Jesus cleansing the temple, I believe for the first time, I believe he did it at the beginning of his ministry in John 2 and at the end of his ministry in Mark 11. Two accounts there. In the John account, we are told quite clearly that Jesus uttered these enigmatic words, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up again. And the commentary on that by John is that he was not talking about Herod's temple, he was talking about the temple of his own body, and that his disciples understood that that's what he was talking about after he had been raised. And so, just to cap off here, no belief in a physical resurrection is found in the ancient pagan religions. We have resuscitation stories, myths, but they were believed to be myths. A belief in a general resurrection at the end of time is found in Judaism. And this is why they didn't expect the resurrection of Jesus Christ, not even his own disciples. We read this several times in the Gospels, really understood what he was on about when he was talking about the fact that he would rise again. It was only after he appeared to them in his glorified state that they actually got it, that Messiah would die in this world for the sins of mankind, and he would be raised to show mankind that there would be final freedom, deliverance from sin, and glorification in the presence of a God who loved them. And so the resurrection, the general basis of the resurrection is that Jesus in dying and then rising again is, if you like, a marker, a signpost showing us that the general resurrection at the end of time is to come. But everything will be connected, everything will be brought together under the auspices of Jesus, the risen Jesus.